Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Today, the trustees for Medicare and Social Security released their annual report on the financial health of those entitlement programs. And here are the two key numbers, 2030 and 2033. Medicare will remain solvent until 2030. That's 4 years later than previously anticipated. And it's in part because of the Affordable Care Act. Social Security's solvency did not change. It will not have enough money to pay full benefits by 2033, according to today's forecast. Joining us is Eric Kingston. He's professor of social work at Syracuse University and co-founder of Social Security Works. He's also worked on two presidential commissions on Social Security. Eric, welcome to Here and Now.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, and what does this report tell you about the health of, let's start with the Social Security program?
Well, nothing very surprising. The system remains quite strong. Americans can count on it to meet all their obligations, young and old. There is sufficient, the trust funds of which are will grow to $2.8 trillion this year, up a little bit. And it has sufficient funds to meet all obligations till 2033, same as last year. After that, it's about 23 cents short on every dollar the American people have earned through their contributions.
And that's a pretty significant problem, though, isn't it, down the road? I mean, yes, it's 2033. That's 19 years away, but it's not that long in the grand scheme.
No. Stepping back, though, in the grand scheme, it's not that long. It is something we need to address. It is not it's far from an insurmountable concern. It would say, an example, we've seen tremendous inequality, increases in inequality in our society. If you go back to 1949 through 1979, two-thirds of the income growth of the nation went to the bottom 90%. Fast forward from 1980 through today, two-thirds has gone to the top 1%. The problem isn't that we're a poor nation. The problem is that the money has gone in extraordinarily inequitable ways, and that in terms of Social Security, the fact that the economy is far more unequal than it had been has also helped undermine Social Security's financing.
So you've made the case there for Social Security being a very important thing for people in this country. But the question remains about what to do with it. I want to just take you back. Well, just 1 second here. Let me just take you back, because the last time that a big change was made was back in the early 80s. Ronald Reagan was president, and the age was raised from 65 to 67 for future beneficiaries. Here's Ronald Reagan speaking back then.
We're entering an age when average Americans will live longer and live more productive lives. These amendments adjust to that progress. The changes in this legislation will allow Social Security to age as gracefully as all of us hope to do ourselves, without becoming an overwhelming burden on generations still to come.
Eric Kingston, does the age need to go up again at some point in the next 20 years?
Absolutely not. What I would just going back to the 1980s, and I was staff to that commission. The world was different. We had a real crisis. If Social Security didn't have legislation in 1983, it would have had to cut benefits if it didn't have legislation by then. More importantly, at that point in time, we expected incomes to continue to grow in the patterns of all Americans sharing in that growth continuing. We expected the private pension systems would be stronger. Today, they're much weaker. The defined benefits are a thing of the past almost. We expected home housing to be a secure asset for people, and we've seen in the recent near collapse of our economy that for many Americans, it's not a secure asset. Back then, Social Security was one piece of a retirement income system. Today, it really is the retirement income system. It's also the life insurance system for our children and the disability insurance system. Two-thirds of young Americans in their 20s will either be disabled or deceased by age 67. Now, to back up on that, retirement age, it sounds great. And you hear lots of people with very secure jobs and in good health saying, look, everybody's living longer. We can work longer.
Yeah.
And everyone should. But what they miss is Firstly, everyone isn't living longer. Life expectancy has declined for lower-income people, for people with less education. It is also true that the reason raising retirement age would reduce a projected shortfall in Social Security is because it takes dollars out of the pockets of the American people. Every year you raise it, it reduces benefits by 6 to 7%. In 83, Congress reduced benefits a total of about 24%. Today, we can't afford to do that, which is why increasingly more and more politicians are talking about expanding Social Security benefits.
But how do you make it solvent beyond 2033? Something's going to have to change at some point.
You ask millionaires and billionaires to pay their share, fair share. You increase the cap. Right now, you only pay on earnings up to $117,000. You say, pay like everyone else. Pay the same payroll tax rate as your secretaries, your workers. Pay 6.2% of your earnings, 6.2%, and the employer matches that, on all your earnings. That in itself would address about 70, 75%, 80%.
Let me just ask you this, though. Doesn't that cause another problem, which is that one of the great things about Social Security is that it does feel like a very democratic system where you don't have people paying different amounts based on their income levels, that everybody's buying into this thing at the same level. And if you make rich people pay more than they are now, it changes the nature of the system.
No, good point. It doesn't though, because right now you would still receive a benefit increase related to your contribution into the system. One could eliminate the so-called cap, or what some people call scrap the cap, and give very, very modest additional credit into it. It's also not unreasonable to be talking about putting a tax on the millionth dollar that would go into Social Security. Given the absolute skyrocketing increase in income of the top 0.1%, it's not unreasonable to say that at $1 million of earnings, we could take an extra 10% and dedicate that to Social Security. There are many things that can be done on the revenue side. The thing we can't afford to do, with two-thirds of Americans working people today, two-thirds of them are heading towards a retirement where they cannot maintain their standard of living. The very last thing we can afford to do is to cut benefits. We need to be doing things like Senator Harkin, Senator Brown have been talking about, the idea of expanding benefits, providing a more secure cost of living adjustment, and paying for those, of course, and we can afford to pay for it. Social Security is very modest. We're looking at an average benefit of $15,000.
But still one that has become very important for a lot of people, and a lot of people are going to be looking at this report today.
Yes.
You can get a link to it at our website, hereandnow.org, and let us know what you think should be done to shore up Social Security in the long term. Eric Kingston, professor of social work at Syracuse and a founder of Social Security Works, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, and may I add one thing?
Nope, because we're out of time. I'm sorry, but thanks again. This is Here and Now.